So to begin, let me ask you this question. What genre is this text?
It's, I think, called apocryphal.
Okay.
Apocalyptic, as the term. And it's meant to use imagery to get into our imagination.
Yeah.
I would say it's more prophetic.
Yeah, it's a major prophet. There is some end times pointing to end times, what God is going to do, which we've just summarized. God restoring humanity, restoring creation, where evil will come to an end. So it is prophetic, and it's also pointing to end times kind of work as well. I want you to think for a moment about prophecy. Being a major prophet, one of the major prophets, Ezekiel is, and thinking about this genre of prophecy, I want you to think about prophecy as a series of mountain ranges. If you stand at the Tantalus lookout and you see the closest mountain range being the Tantalus, but beyond that, if you actually got to a peak on the Tantalus range, you would see another series of mountains that we can't see from our current vantage point. And if you got to the peaks of those mountains, you would see yet another set on Vancouver Island. You would see a series of mountains. And that right now, from our vantage point, we can't see. So I want you to keep that image in mind when you think about prophecy. This text is the immediate fulfillment of this text is God restoring the people of Israel back to out of exile, back to Israel, and God breathing new life into his people. So there's something literal, there is something imminent in this prophetic word. So that's the Tantalus range. But then there's something that this text is pointing to beyond just restoring God's people back to Israel. It's also pointing to God redeeming mankind through the work of his spirit, through the cross, which we've just celebrated Good Friday and Easter. And we've seen then that is a fulfillment of this text where God breathed on his people, poured out his spirit, and many came to life and he began to restore humanity back to his original intent. Now, the final mountain range, the final fulfillment of this text is the present, what God has done in you, what God has done in me, where God breathed life into you and I, and where we were made new in Christ. And then a final fulfillment where God will restore all of mankind to himself. So I want you to think about that. So here we see Ezekiel is given this vision, the state of Israel, the Valley of Dry Bones, and I want to give three observations of this text. The first observation that I have is that God invites Ezekiel to look. His first invitation is look and see. I thought about before Ezekiel ever saw the brokenness of Israel in exile and was captivated by that, what actually preceded him seeing that and noticing that is the fact that he first saw the Lord. He was captivated by a vision of God, who God was, who he was in relationship to Yahweh. And his vision of God stirred up something so deep in him that his heart began to break for God's people. knowing that they were not living in congruency with who God called them to be. I think about the courage it took Ezekiel to first look and take his eyes off of himself and set his eyes on God. I think it's a pretty courageous thing for us to do that. Every time we take our eyes off of ourselves and we focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith, every time we take our eyes off of ourselves and we cry out to God for a fresh vision of himself, that's a pretty courageous act. Because when we truly get a glimpse of who God is, it really sets us on a whole new trajectory. Ezekiel caught a glimpse of God first, and out of that vision of God, his heart began to break for his people. And as a prophet, he couldn't let go of it. He kept calling Israel to more. Think about the people throughout history who experienced the same thing, who first caught a vision of God and it changed their lives forever. I don't know if anybody comes to your mind. William Wilberforce comes to my mind. He caught a glimpse of God's glory. And out of that experience and revelation of who God was in Christ, it stirred something so deep in him as he was saw the living Christ revealed to him in the scriptures. He could not rest until he began to see the glory of God revealed in all humanity. And what broke his heart was the slave trade in England in the late 1700s and early 1800s. And in fact, William Wilberforce didn't rest until he saw slave trade come to an end. So what captivated him? It was first he was captivated by God. He caught a glimpse of who God was and who he was in relationship with God. And he began to see how this God's original intent was so missing in the larger humanity. So he was so captivated he couldn't stop until he saw the glory of God restored in the lives of all people, until he saw the slave trade coming to an end. Now that's one example of someone in history that caught a glimpse of God first, and it then set that person on a whole different trajectory. Does anybody else have someone else that come to mind when I think about this idea? Anybody in history?
Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Anybody else? Somebody in history caught a glimpse of God, changed forever. Even from scripture.
Darcy, I think Ryan White is one. Mm. The young boy who died with the AIDS activists.
Yeah, we'll have to look up that name and do some research, because I haven't heard that name, but I'd like to learn more.
Hey,
yeah.
Mel just said Saul.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened to Saul?
You're on. I'm on, okay. Well, he, I don't remember the whole story, to be honest, but I know he became Paul. Was it the road to Damascus?
That's right, yeah.
The right story? Okay. And, okay, was there fire involved? I can't remember if there was fire involved. I remember he was blinded.
That's right. But he was apprehended by Jesus, right? The living Christ.
Right.
And and it changed his life forever. Yeah.
And his name.
Yeah. And his name. Good. Yeah. Pointing us.
I keep getting in trouble for putting her on the spotlight.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Thanks a lot.
Anybody else come to your mind? In scripture,
Samuel.
Okay.
Called his name.
Yep. Anybody else?
Mary Magdalene.
We also came up with another one here about Abraham and Isaac.
Yeah.
And how that attempted sacrifice turned out to affect both of them forever.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty profound encounter, wasn't it?
Moses. And of course Moses.
Yes. Yes, Moses, of course. The burning bush experience, and then later on he actually, scripture says, he saw the Lord. He saw the back of God. Yeah, with his own eyes.
Doesn't that normally kill somebody?
That normally kills somebody.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Anybody else? I think about Isaiah. Scripture says that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that encounter so profoundly changed Isaiah. Scripture says that out of that experience, he heard God say, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, here I am, send me. So we have this pattern all through Scripture that when our eyes are opened and we have the courage to look, to see, and we see God first, it transforms how we see life, how we see others, how we see ourselves. It unsettles something in us. And it has the power to send us in a whole new trajectory. And so I think the courage for us to pray that prayer, there's that old worship song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. And I think especially in the time that we find ourselves in COVID, God's got our attention. And could it be that he's trying to get our attention, that we would open our eyes again and see what he's doing, what he's saying to the church, and catch a glimpse of him. And early this morning, I was praying that prayer, Lord, I think I need a fresh vision of you. We continually need a fresh vision. Yes, I have encountered Christ years ago, and there's been a number of encounters, but we need a fresh vision of Jesus on a regular basis. The second thing I see in the scripture is that Ezekiel didn't just see, but he listened. He heard. All through this passage, there's this divine interchange between Ezekiel and Yahweh. Yahweh speaks. In fact, Yahweh gives him specific things to say. This is what I want you to say. And he's basically inviting Ezekiel, just repeat after me. You don't need to come up with this on your own. You don't need to devise a plan. You don't need to figure it out. You just need to listen to me and speak what I tell you to say. And isn't that the same for you and I? We don't have to come up with things to say. It's all been given to us. In fact, Jesus said in the scriptures, reminded us that don't be afraid when you stand before kings about what to say. That Jesus says, I will tell you, I will show you what you need to say in those moments. So I think Randy shared, we have this example in Moses. Moses saw the Lord, this burning bush experience, but he didn't just see the Lord, he heard the Lord as well. God gets Moses' attention and he reminds Moses of what he saw. Isn't that interesting? God sees, and then he invites Moses to take a look, right? And then he speaks to Moses. He says these words, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt and lead them to their own fertile, spacious land. Look, Look, the cry of the people have reached my ears. Now go, I am sending you. Pretty cool that when we catch a glimpse of God and we begin to catch a glimpse of his character, his compassion, it begins to transform us in how we see ourselves and how we see others. Interesting, Moses, 40 years in the desert, God shelved a vision. Moses began to get an idea of God's purpose and plan for his life. Moses messed it up. He tried to do it on his own strength. And God shelves that vision for 40 years. And then at just the right time, God takes that vision off of the shelf and he reminds Moses, Moses, remember Egypt? Remember the tyranny of the Egyptians? Remember the oppression of my people? Remember? And it's like he's taking off the shelf what God had Moses put away. He's inviting Moses to look at that again. And then he invites him to go. The beautiful thing we see in this passage in Ezekiel is that God tells Ezekiel exactly what he's supposed to say. And he speaks it all to Ezekiel. Over and over again, we see God speaking to Ezekiel and Ezekiel simply repeating what he heard from God back to God and his people. I think about the courage it takes to open our ears and hear God's voice, to actually engage him in conversation and hear what's on his heart. Mark 4:23 says, if anyone here has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we've talked a lot about this. We feel like God is getting our attention, the church's attention, through COVID. I think the world, God's getting the world's attention through COVID. And I think if there's ever a time in our history where we are now all ears to what God is saying, I think it's now. I want to take you back to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah caught a glimpse of God. But the verse prior to that says this, the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Something just happened in Israel's history. A major king that brought so much stability to the nation died. The nation of Israel was about, it was being rocked because this leader just died. There was a shaking that was happening. And in that context, Isaiah saw the Lord. I firmly believe that when our world is being shaken, when we are unsettled, when our props are removed, when the things that we've leaned on forever have been pulled away, we are the most attentive. We are the most free to listen and to see what God is doing and what he's saying. So it's interesting that Ezekiel here, he hears what God is saying, and he hears it in the context of prayer. You know, when we pray, we don't necessarily pray and invite God into what we're praying. It's actually the other way around. Prayer is God inviting us into his space, the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and listening to what he's saying, and we join him in his prayer. And in fact, that's what we see in Ezekiel in this interchange between Ezekiel and God. God is inviting Ezekiel to eavesdrop on what's on his heart and what he's about to do. I think we've got some people that have not muted themselves. So being invited to listen is really nothing new. Jesus is baptized and the heavens are opened, and God says this about Jesus: "This is my son whom I love, listen to him." Mary invites her son to turn water into wine, and she gives the servants the best advice: do whatever he tells you to do. And John 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So I wonder during COVID whether God is inviting us to tune into him, to press into him in a deeper way. I think God is purposely turning down the volume of all the other things, all the other distractions, and so we can actually hear his voice. I firmly believe that God is doing that in our time. He's inviting us to see, and he's inviting us to listen. So will we have courage to listen to what he's saying to the church and to us? And finally, the thing I see is the courage to speak. Ezekiel spoke then the words that he heard from God. That's where there's this holy interchange. God speaks. Ezekiel simply repeats what he heard God saying to him. So I spoke the message just as he told me. And so there's this interchange. So I spoke. So this word God revealed to him, and he just simply spoke it out. And I think it's pretty amazing that God invited Ezekiel into this interchange. And doesn't he do the same thing for us? He speaks to us, and he invites us into this partnership, this relationship. A number of us are going, we're studying through the book of Philippians. And there's this verse in Philippians 1:17. And Paul's in prison, and he says this: "For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." So what Paul is saying is that God is going to deliver me. Paul was absolutely clear that God was going to deliver him, but it was not just the Spirit that was going to do it. It was the Spirit through their prayers that God was going to deliver them. That their prayers mattered. The prayers of the church, actually in unison with the Spirit, brought him deliverance. I think sometimes we can undermine the power of our prayers. But when we are invited into the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're eavesdropping what's on God's heart, and we begin to pray in unison with his will, then God answers. And so we see this divine interchange in Ezekiel's life, and I believe that God invites us into that same divine interchange. Now, Paul, or Ezekiel, was invited to listen to what God was on God's heart, and then Ezekiel spoke it out. Now, I want you to think about the power of God's spoken word in your own life. Have you had an experience where God gave a word to somebody, either a pastor, a message came out of someone's mouth that touched your heart, awakened something in you? Have you read scripture where you read something and God's spoken word spoke into your life and did this same kind of work that we see, this valley of dry bones, that it actually did something in you? Have you experienced the power of a prophetic word in your own life where someone spoke something over you that they believed that God gave them by his Spirit? Have you experienced that before? I'll give you a moment to share. Where do we see this actually at work in our own personal experience or in the church? Kenda and I had a prophetic word. It was Psalm 1 was spoken into our lives at North Shore Alliance Church, and God used that prophetic word to help lead us to Squamish, to church plant. It was a profound, it was the word that we needed in that time, in that moment. And it was the Holy Spirit giving us a nudge. That comes to my mind. Anybody else? A prophetic word given over you, and it actually accomplished this work in your own life, that there was new life that emerged in you as a result of that spoken word. I've shared the story of Brian Head Welch, who's the lead guitarist for Korn. When he encountered Jesus, it was a realtor that over the phone simply gave him Matthew 11. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The realtor felt weird about actually giving that to him. He actually apologized before he even did it. And that spoken word awakened something in Brian, and he's never been the same since. So we can see similar examples in our own lives where someone speaks a word into us and God uses it to awaken us to a deeper experience of Him. Now, we've all had perhaps negative experiences of the prophetic, someone coming to us and saying, I believe that this word is for you, or God told me, or that kind of language. And when people use the prophetic and use language of control, it can be abusive. We know that. When someone says to me, God told me, you can't really argue that, can you? And it's a statement of control. And it doesn't leave room for you to do any kind of discerning work yourself. Ultimately, if someone gives you a prophetic word, you are the one that tests that word, whether that is actually from God or not. And so this is why it's so important when people give prophetic words and speak the word of God into our lives, that we need to know God's spirit ourselves, and we need to know God's word. Otherwise, we can't test it. So there are abuses. Some people can misuse this gift. And that's why I think it's so important. The best testing place for us to use the prophetic gift is in prayer. As you are in a relationship with God and you hear, you first see God, encounter Him, you hear what He's saying, the best place to learn to speak that back is in the context of prayer. I think oftentimes people feel that God gives them a word for somebody, and prematurely they speak that word into someone's life. And I think oftentimes that word was never intended to actually be spoken to the individual. I think oftentimes God gives us insight into someone's heart purely so we pray for them. And I'm afraid that when we jump the gun and we speak that word into people's lives prematurely, it can actually undermine the work of God's Spirit in that individual, but also ourselves. Because if they aren't ready to receive that word and they don't give us a warm reception, then we can actually become disillusioned in that gift, and we can actually put the gift away and we no longer listen anymore. So we have to be very careful that when we hear and God puts something on our hearts, I think the invitation is to hold it and hold it in the context of prayer. I think the beautiful example we see here in Ezekiel's life is that he was in relationship with God. He knew God. He knew His word. And it was in this relationship of community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Ezekiel was speaking this prophetic word out. And as he did that, life change happened. God restored Israel. And isn't it beautiful that God also used Ezekiel's word to not just restore Israel, but also point to the coming Messiah, where there was a greater fulfillment of this promise, where we saw and see in the day of Pentecost, where this also came to life and happened in a more significant way. I think the invitation here is this co-partnership with Christ. It's co-laboring. And where we encounter God by His Spirit, we see Him, we hear His voice, and we begin to speak that back to God in relationship. And we hear and see God answering those prayers. We see this beautiful partnership, co-laboring with Christ through our prayers. And God answers those prayers. And maybe we need that reminder this morning. So I believe that during COVID, God is trying to get our attention. Give us the courage to see. Give us the courage to hear. And then when the time is right, to give us courage to speak those things out. And to speak those things back out to God in prayer. I wanted to, before we wrap things up, I know I've gone over a little bit, but I want to close in prayer. And then after this prayer, for those of you who want to stay and talk, last Easter Sunday, we left it kind of open for people to stay and dialogue. I think our time was really rich. So if you don't need to leave and you want to continue to talk and share further thoughts and how God has spoken to you or what this might mean for you, then we can, you're free to do that. But would you join with me in prayer as I pray this prayer? Let's take this seriously, this invitation for co-laboring with Christ in prayer.